This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I hope everyone's doing great today. And I tell you, here the weather here where I live in Alabama is up and down. It's cold one day, hot one day, rainy the one day, and sunny the next day. But you know what? It's good because I like this. I like the changing of the seasons. I like to know that we have winter, spring, summer, fall, and through all these changes, sort of speaks a little bit of our spiritual walk, does it not? It sort of speaks of our spiritual walk as being, you know, changing always as well, you know, going from different spiritual seasons to new different spiritual seasons. And so, hey, I like the natural always speaks of that which is spiritual for us. So anyway, I'm really glad you guys decided to join with me today in this podcast, and looking forward to speaking today on some really cool hot subjects. You know, most of the time on Thoughts Become Things, I try to sort of allude a little bit towards Thoughts Become Things and really how our lives are literally conducive by what we think and the patterns we believe and thoughts and religious tones and theology and principles and beliefs. And that's so true. And I want to sort of continue that if I could today, because one of the things that's really been burning in my heart today, and I was actually speaking about this to a friend of mine on Facebook the other day about basically, you know, let's narrow it down. Let's sort of break it down when we think about who runs our lives. And so today I wanted to sort of title this podcast, Who is Running Your Life? Because one of the things I find really amazing is the fact that we have this amazing heart. We have this amazing brain. We have this amazing concept of so many different things of life. And we always sort of ask ourselves the question, who am I influenced by? You know, who am I influenced by, and do I influence myself louder than other people influence me? You know, do I allow God influence me more than, you know, anything else or anyone else? You know, the thing that I really love about our beautiful lives is really taking a good spiritual check. You know, keeping a check on ourselves to say, what exactly is navigating my life? Who is running my life? Who am I listening to? Who am I paying attention to? And if we look at the sort of the surface level, we tend to be those kind of people that always say, hey, you know what? Be careful who you listen to. And so we always pick out the positive people versus the negative people, do we not? Where positive people want to be able to make an impact in our lives, and negative people that sort of make us feel bad or down, we sort of stay away from. And that's true. However, one of the things we have to really pay attention to is, what are we doing to ourselves? It's not always just about externally what other people are saying to us to say, oh, you know what, they're negative, they're judgmental, or they're positive, or they're, you know, sweet people or whatever, you know, or these people, you know, always want to tell you what to do or whatever. You know, we're always looking for that externally. However, I want us to take a good internal look at ourselves, because one of the things that really hit home with me when I was speaking to a friend of mine through social media the other day was paying attention to the detail of my life. And you could take your life into this conversation and look at our lives to say, okay, so we know the concept of I have been influenced and you have been influenced all of our life. We've been influenced by people all over, you know, our world, you know, from television to satellite to enemies to friends to family members to peers to people we love, people we hate, you know, neighbors and mailmen and UPS people, you know. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, we're influenced by everyone who sort of walks near our life. And we just happen to get a glimpse or hear a conversation or hello, how are you today mentality. We're always influenced because we are, let's just face it, folks, we're very fertile people. Now, when we say we're fertile people, what does that mean? It means that we're always taking in taking in conversations. We're always taking in things that people say. We're always taking in through small little conversations, and it doesn't even have to be in-depth, deep conversations where I'm hanging out with you 24/7 and you've influenced me. We can be influenced on such a small scale that we're not even aware of it, sort of psychologically speaking. We're not even aware of the influence or the impact that someone has on us. Do you know statistically, did you know that if someone you see, let's say, has a big smile on their face and they hold their hand up and wave to you, notice how that affects you. Statistically, it actually does. It gets embedded in you because the smile might be bigger than other people's smile. You know, it could be that thing where their hand wave was a certain gesture in which they made their wave really big, and that sticks in your brain. And you will be shocked how many times that will go through your brain because you see that it was maybe a bigger smile, a bigger this, a larger hand wave, to where it's embedded in you. And you will find yourself next time you smile having a small glimpse or glimmer of that person's smile to say, oh, wow, you know, it just hit my mind real quick. Am I smiling that big? Am I not smiling that big? You guys, you'd be amazed statistically how many people affect us. And it's amazing when we look at our lives and we say to ourselves, on a small scale, if things like that even just get in our subconscious, how much more are things really affecting us on a bigger scale of people we see every day or maybe run into three times a week versus I don't know you and I just saw you walking on the sidewalk smiling at me waving, right? So let's look at who runs our lives. So we know that all these things, statistically speaking, all these things, activities and expressions and comments and opinions and how people even look at us, or how people maybe don't even look at us by ignoring us, how all this stuff plays a big role in the effect of my decision making of my life. And it's funny because when you talk to a lot of Christian people, a lot of them are like, I'm not bothered by this or that. Here's the truth is, I once about to say, quit burying your head in the sand, because that's not reality. You have to look on a psychological level and on a science level and a medical level when you're dealing with us as human beings. We are prone because we are genetically made to pick up on people's energy. We're genetically made, if you think about it, to pick up on expressions. I mean, why do we not pay attention to the fact that even Jesus in the Bible said, and I love this scripture, I quote it a lot, but let's break it down a little bit more today, that when Jesus said, the carnal mind of man is God's enemy. What does that really look like? Here's what it looks like. We think of the carnal mind. A lot of us think of the fact that a carnal mind means somebody who's embedded in sin. Maybe somebody who's in fornication, adultery, someone who murdered or stolen. And we look at the big things, don't we? You know, when we think of sin, we think of the big man, the big things, you know, that are ultimate sins, you know, that everybody would cringe no matter who you are on earth. You cringe, you know, when you think of murder, you know. And that's partially true. However, a carnal mind doesn't always speak of the big sins. It can speak of even small things such as missing the mark on, you know, smaller scale things of listening to the media on any level. You know, I'm here's what I want to say this loud and clear. A person who just listens to a certain outlet of media, I don't care if it's just Fox and not CNN. I'm sorry, you're very mature. Very mature. Yes, I said it. If you listen to just CNN and not Fox, you're very mature. Because what you're saying is this. You have already adapted to the carnal mind. I'll tell you why. When we begin to look and say, oh, I don't believe in the liberals, I don't believe in the Democrats, I don't believe in this, you might think you're trying to be more moral and holy, but the truth is you're being more carnal, just as equal as someone who is the person you're actually opposing. And the reason why is because of the fact what you're doing is you're proving to yourself, and then you want to extend that proof to other people, that you are so programmed by a systematic way of this natural world and a systematic political world that you've already been influenced and drank the Kool-Aid of believing that this side is right and this is what I believe and this side is wrong. The truth is, folks, in a systematic place, a systematic standard of this world, everything is going to be wrong. Everything is going to be frail. Everything is going to have a bad to it, and everything is going to have good to it, and everything is going to be fragmented. And so you're already proven to yourself that you're allowing yourself to be influenced by a carnal mind. It doesn't mean that people who, if I listen to Fox and just believe this, or I believe in these people are right and these people are wrong, if you're thinking that's sort of a signal of having a moral compass mind versus a carnal mind, you're sadly mistaken. You've already deceived yourself, because any systems of this world is frail. Any systems of this world is carnal. Anything of this natural world, it's the system of the world, the worldliness, period, is going to be corrupt. And so you're actually proving yourself to be more carnal-minded than you think you are trying to prove yourself not to be carnal-minded. I'm not part of the system, but yet you tend to lean to the left, but you tend to lean to the right, and you put your faith in that, but yet you think you're right. You've already deceived yourself. Worldly systems are worldly systems, period. There's not a worldly system that actually is not faulty. There's not a worldly system that is actually not perfect, that is not holy. I mean, they're all going to be bad. And so you're just proving yourself to be more carnal when you have that mentality. Now, with that being said, I want to speak on this level too. Let's get away from politics for a moment. Let's speak on the level of who am I being influenced by. Well, we see through that you're already influenced by the media or a party or a name. I'm Republican because God is Republican, or something really off the wall, crazy, immature. We'll just put it bluntly, idiotic thinking like that. So let's skip that for a moment. Let's go to other worldly things when it deals with why would the Bible say the carnal mind of man is God's enemy? Well, first of all, if we take it from a political side, if we take it from a media side, if we take it from a black or white side, or a male or a female, when yet Christ lets us know, you know, in the New Testament, you know, that in Him there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. So even those in bondage and those enslaved to something versus those that are free is considered to be equal in the mind of God, because there's not even an equality there. It even transcends past an equal or an equality. So in Christ there is neither. So therefore it transcends even past an equality. Think about that. An equality would be bond and free would be equally the same. And yet, here's how the scripture puts it to us, that if we think on the level of, you know, we see this and we see bond or free is not the same, then what happens is we are moving by a worldly system. If we see that the bond or free is actually still the same, we're still working on a worldly system. Think about that. Because what he's saying is there's neither. So when we judge by a value system that the world has created for us to believe in, and we see someone as being the bond, or seeing someone as being the free, or seeing someone as being the Jew, or seeing someone as being the Gentile, or seeing someone as being the black or the white, or anything that deals with anything, sexuality, male or female, whatever you want to call it, I don't care, whatever it is, that the structure of that person, what we're saying is we're carnal, carnally minded. Because Jesus says, pretty much the word says, I think it was Paul that mentioned the fact that it is not about an equality, it's about a transcending past even an equality. So it's not even talking about who's right and wrong, or one's bad, one's good, or one's bond more free. It's not even talking about that. And then the second step up would be, no, it's not about that. They're equal, they're equal, they're equal. And then the third step above that, which transcends past those two, is we don't even see neither, because we transcend past that. Because once again, there's still a balance. If I was to say, even when I bring in a place of equality or equal, bond or free being equal, that's still speaking on a scale of weight balances, right? It's still speaking on that level, because a balance is just saying I still have two sides that happen to be maybe weighing the same weight. So you're still speaking on a systematic way of thinking of weight and scales on this earth. So through that, he says, I'm not even speaking on that level. I am transcending past that level to the place where this is what the scripture is saying. I'm transcending past that place to say there is neither. So there's not a measurement, there's not a balance to either. There's not an equality. There is a transcending past even that. So when we say in Christ there is neither all these things that are extreme opposites, then when we say to ourselves, in Christ there's neither Republican or Democrat, what are we saying? We're saying when you feel that both of them are equal, that's still not good enough for God. When you say one's better than the other one, that's still not equal with God. That's still not, you know, good with God. When you learn to say, I transcend past both, to recognize, yes, both of them have good. Yes, both of them have bad. White and blacks have both good. White and blacks have both bad in them. When you transcend past all that and you realize we're not even bringing in an equality of seeing the equal sides. We're not even bringing in one's better than the other one. Because think about it. Good, and once again, good and bad, folks, come from the same exact tree. That's why, once again, Jesus never said, I come to give you good and good more better, or bad more better. He says, I come to give you life, because he is the tree of life in the book of Revelation. Tree of life always supersedes, or tree of life always trumps, for lack of better words, good and evil. Because good and evil come from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so there's your balance where we break the balance even. Think about that. Well, I'm good, I'm a little bad, a little good. No, and what the whole message of Christ and something that Paul was trying to get across to the people is you don't even need a good or bad side, nor do you even need to say there's an equality of both. You transcend past both of those ideas, these ideologies, because when you transcend past all that, you realize there is neither. Now, that's hard for our brains to wrap around. It really is. But it frees you, and that's where the truth truly sets you free. Because truth is not a substance, and it's not even a principle. Here's where people miss it. A truth is not even a principle. So that's a fact. So if I were to say to you, for example, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so doesn't have cancer anymore. That's not a truth that sets you free. That's an answer. That is a good answer, by the way, right? But yet the thing is, it's still not even, quote-unquote, good enough to God. Because what he's saying is, I'm not wanting you to bring in that level. I am literally calling you to transcend past all of that. Because once again, there's a life substance that transcends past a good and bad substance. Think about that. I know it's hard for some of you to swallow, but the truth is, this is the role of Christ. Jesus never said, I am the way, the truth, and the goodness. He says, or he didn't never say, I'm the way, the truth, and I balance good and evil out. What he's saying is, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, truth is a person, and the only way to really understand life is to really know the person of truth, not getting an answer. So, even truth supersedes answers. So, if you look at everything I'm talking about today, I'm sort of digging here a little hole here that I'm getting away from my topic, but if you really think about everything we're talking about, we deal with the fact that we have to begin to look at life and say, I do not want to be influenced by trying to make sense out of something of good and bad. I don't want to live life trying to bring equality to everything. I don't want to live life having a mindset of whose side am I on? Because all of that is still part of the carnal mind. And even when you try to live a good life, it's still living a life out of the carnal mind. Because he didn't come to bring you goodness. He came to bring you life and life more abundantly. Because he is that tree of life. And so, who is running your life? This is where you have to look at your life and say, you know what? I am running my life based on having the mind of God, the mind of Christ, that lets me know I am neither of these things that the world tells me I am. I'm neither part of a party. I'm neither part of a color. I'm neither part of a gender. I'm neither part of any of this stuff. And if I'm neither of any of this stuff, then that means it doesn't have to make sense to me, because all of this is only here to influence me. Everything on both sides is only here to influence you. When people say the Democrats are trying to influence me, the Republicans are trying to influence me, white people are trying to influence me, black people are trying to influence me, whatever the case may be, poor might be trying to influence you, or rich people, you're still speaking from a carnal mind. Because we have to see and realize that there is no power in truth called Jesus that actually is in anything remotely of an influential side. Jesus is not a side. This is where people miss it. Jesus is not a side. Jesus is the truth that transcends past a left and a right, a side. So because of that, truth sets us free. And when we look at the place of what is it I'm attracting in my life, what is it I'm wanting to birth forth my life, who am I listening to? You don't listen to anyone that brings in a limitational side, or even trying to get you to which side are you taking, balance this out, or get on a side, or an opinion, or a theology, or religion, or tradition. And what he's letting you know is this: if you want to be able to attract and have the good things of God's kingdom, then you have to begin to focus on things that are worthy of productivity, of worthy of reproduction, things that are worthy of the healthiness and the wholeness flowing out of that, that will constantly grow and expand and become this unlimited source that never runs dry. If you think about Jesus and the woman at the well, you think of the fact that he says, I can give you water that will cause you to never thirst again. Now notice this just for a moment. Now many of you are going to be like, I never thought about this. Jesus said, I'll give you water that causes you to never thirst again. Now, I want you to think about everything I've been saying to you guys. Water quenches the thirst. Okay, there's just no ifs, ands, buts about it. Water quenches the thirst. So if he says, I'm going to give you water that causes you to never thirst again, well, you can't say that, Jesus, because water quenches a thirst. You can't take water and do anything else with it, because water actually nourishes. It waters, and it nourishes, like I said, and takes care of the dryness we have. So how can you redefine water? But he did. And what he's saying is, if you think on a carnal mind level, of a mind of limitation, then you're going to think of, well, is that hot water or is that cold water, God? Where's the water come from? Who made the water? What company owns the water? Are they supportive of gay marriage? Are they supportive of abortion? Are they supporting Trump? Are they supporting, China? Are they supporting Taiwan? I mean, you see what I'm saying? And believe it or not, people, as silly as this sounds to you, you and I do this all the time, almost every day, in our idiotic thinking. Because once again, it's always about choosing a side. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? And yet Jesus redefined, because he transcended. I want you to hear me closely. Jesus transcended past where the water comes from. Is it hot or is it cold? What does the water have in it? He transcended past it, because all that thinking is nothing more and merely more than a carnal way of thinking. Think about that from a worldly, systematic point of view. So he redefined water to say, I'm not going to give you water of what you think from a worldly point of view of what water looks like, where it comes from, and how on earth could it do this? Because he's going to give you water that causes you to never thirst again. So what happens is, you're going to be able to drink something that is going to be truth, that is going to be enlightening, that's going to be powerful, that won't cause you to want to crave it again. It'll be satisfied and taken care of. So basically, he redefined water. And he didn't bring into it a hot or cold side. He didn't bring into it a, where, when, how, and why. He's saying, I'm going to redefine this by letting you know it's not about a side. It's not about your definition of how the world told you it is. It's about me and my definition, because I am the water, the living word. I am the water. So I'm going to give you my definition. And so when you're thinking about what are you attracting into your life, you have to begin to think from a higher point of view by transcending past a cultural good and bad, polarizing type of society thinking. Because if you don't, you will always attract things that you still don't want. Because there's really nothing that we want to attract of anything of this world by that type of thinking. So you transcend past all of that. And when you do, you realize that I will attract things that will be beneficial, empowering, continuing growth, productivity, multiplication. It won't stop growing, and it will just plow the life that I'm living and plow all the trees down and begin to constantly begin to meet the need, show up, show out for me, show up for other people. And so that way you realize that you want to track things that are transcending past anything of an idea of what side and choose this instead of this mentality. Let me give you guys a great example. So now I'm going to deal with a little bit of something in the world, but it'll bring in a little bit more understanding. So when we look at cars, now back in the Word of Faith day, and once again, I am a prosperity person. I'm not going to lie. When people say the prosperity gospel, I'm just like cringe at that because I'm thinking, okay, well, if there's a prosperity gospel, that means there has to be a poverty gospel. You can't put a name to the gospel because you just can't do that. You can't say there's a health gospel and a sick gospel. That's ridiculous. And once again, it comes from a carnal mind of the lack of knowledge, as people would say. So I think productivity gospel would be the best way to use it in every area of your life, right? So with all that being said, we can look and say to ourselves, okay, when we say from a carnal point of view, we can say, Lord, I am attracting and I'm going to believe God for a BMW, for a Mercedes, for a Tesla, for a Lamborghini. Okay, you can do that, but you have to think about for a moment, what principle, what mindset struck a chord in you to want to get a very expensive car? Because your mind has been programmed by your life and everyone who's influenced you to say bigger or more expensive is the best. And so guess what? You're still not reaching for God's quote-unquote best for you. Think about that. You're reaching from a carnal, materialistic point of view. And what you will attract will be from a material, which material fades away, by the way. Seek it first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So it's about that first. So when you see that, you realize that all of a sudden, you're thinking from a carnal point of view still because you're thinking of what good and bad, rich and poor, are you with me, expensive versus unexpensive. Which the God's best for you can easily be the idea and the notion of, let's say, for example, maybe a Honda that actually is a great car and its residual value lasts longer. It's known not to break down. So when you think about, we could say quality versus quantity, whatever, however word you want to use. But you get that way, you transcend past bigger, smaller, richer, poorer, better, worse, evil, good. You transcend past all that and you think of quality. What is quality? Life. How many people have you ever heard, you know, say, what is their quality of life left? Isn't that crazy you hear that? But you don't ever hear, what is their bad life left or the good life? What is the quality of their life? And so you have to transcend past out of the carnal mind to be able to get into the place where you're understanding God's truth, which is quality. And that way you will attract quality and truth that will actually bring you to a place where you will attract things that will be longevity, lasting, quality, value, that will reproduce after its own kind. But when you get at something from a carnal point of view, you will always cut your throat, for lack of better words, and get into a systematic way of carnal minds of this world, which will be anti what God wants for you. And then you'll live on a high level of feeling like this is God's best, when really it's not. It's just more of a materialistic, limited, breakdown, possibly loses value type of mentality. So I hope all this helped you guys out today in this podcast. I wanted to be able to break it down a little bit to help people literally really just sort of focus on who's influencing you, but what is your thinking in what you're attracting? And I want to encourage each one of you, when you go to the website identitynetwork.net, when you do, I want to encourage you to check out my courses. And one of the courses that will really help you guys out is my School of Thought, Visualization and Imagination. School of Thought, Visualization and Imagination. It's biblical, it's powerful, it'll help you guys to know how the brain works and how to think from the point of view of the kingdom. So thank you as always. Have a great dynamic day. And as always, if you don't like your life, restructure it by thinking and speaking into it and creating the life you want. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.